Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tesamud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Haguf Kasha. In the previous shiur, we had learned the machlokes of Rav and Levi, what should be done if somebody benefited from money that he had designated for Karban Chatos, for Karban Asham, and the Gemara had quoted a brisa that supported Levi's opinion. The Gemara quoted a brisa that supported Rav's opinion. Actually, that was the last brisa that we learned in the previous year. And the Gemara begins today with analyzing that brisa. Begins the Gemara, Haguf Kasha. The brisa seems to be self-contradictory. First, the brisa said, Achlei Karva Chatosai, that if somebody had money designated for Karban Chatos, and he used some of that money for his own personal benefit. So the halacha is that he now owes Karen V'chaymish. So the Braisa paskin, Yosef V'yavi Chatosai. He should take that money that he now owes for his Mi'ila and add it to the funds that he has set aside for his to buy Karban Chatos and just buy a bigger, more expensive animal. The Braisa continued to say, however, if it was Mishikar v'chatasai, he only had designated that money after the Karban Chatos has already been brought. So then the halacha is, and therefore he can't use that money to add to the funds that he's going to buy a Karban Chatos with, because you already brought the Karban Chatos, and you can't just bring another Karban Chatos, because as we know, you only bring a Karban Chatos if you're obligated to bring a Karban Chatos if you did an Aveira. So the Braisa said that extra money, Yelchi Yam HaMelech, should be disposed of in the Yam HaMelech. But then the end of that very Braisa said, Bukhtani, but the end of that Braisa said, Kol Kabanas HaMizbeach LaMizbeach, that whatever money was designated for use for a carbon to be brought on the Mizbeach, if that money was appropriated or misappropriated, the money that's now owed should be used to bring a carbon on the Mizbeach. And this statement, which were the last words of the Braisa, doesn't distinguish v'loshna the ichba balam v'loshna hech the lichber. The Braisa doesn't make any difference if the owners already brought another carbon, brought their carbon already, or haven't brought their carbon. This extra money, the Braisa seems to indicate, should be used specifically only for the buying carbon to be put on the Mizbeach. Answers the Gemara. The Reisha, the beginning of the Braisa, and the Seif, the end of the Braisa, actually represent a Machloikas Tanoim that we discussed in Masechta Temura. The Reisha, says the Gemara, represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, who, that whenever you have a situation where you have money that was set aside for Karban Chatos, and you have leftover money, which as we've discussed, is called Moisru Chatos, that money should be disposed of. So if it's a live animal, it should be left to die. And if it's in our case, it's money, that money should be disposed of by going to Yam HaMelech. The Seif, on the other hand, represents the opinion of the Rabbanon that even if the owner has already had a kapara through a carbon, it is their opinion that the animal is not left to die, or in this case, Yam HaMelech, because according to them, and we'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shir, the only time the animal or the money are disposed of is in a situation where the animal was lost and then found after the other carbon was brought. But here we're not talking about a situation where animal was lost. We're speaking about a situation that money was designated because there was Me'ila Behegdish. In such a situation, even the Rabbanon would agree, here the Rabbanon would say, that that money is not disposed of, but it's used for another carbon, for Oilus Ketzem or Mizbeach, and that's why the Rabbanon say that all that money, unless it was a very specific case where the animal that we designated for a carbon was lost, or the animal we designated for a carbon became Balmum, only in those situations and other situations where there's a real disqualification in the animal that was designated, there and only there the Rabbanah hold Thomas In other situations, the Rabbanon don't hold Tumas. They hold that it should be used for another carbon. And that's why the Sefer that says that it should be brought for the Mizbeach represents indeed their opinion. The best example we could give for understanding the Rabbanon is a case that we've discussed numerous times in our shiurim. What would be the halacha if somebody's mechuyev a karbon chatos and he designated two animals because he wanted an animal to be insurance in case something happens to the other animal? According to Reb Shimon, that second animal should be tamus after the first animal is brought. According to Rabbanon, that second animal, nothing problematic happened to that animal to disqualify it. And therefore, that animal is brought for a carbon, or at least wait to Bamum, and its proceeds are used for a carbon. And indeed, says the Gemara, Amr Rav Gvir Debei Kossel Rav Ashi, Hocham Abaya, so did Abaya explain this Braisa. Reisha, the Reisha of the Braisa represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, and the Seifa of the Braisa represents the opinion of the Rabbanan. I saw that the Karen Oira, however, does comment. The Karen Oira comments that even Rav Shimon will agree that there's one case that the money is not disposed of. And that is, let's say somebody's mechuyev a karbon chatos, and he designates money for carbon, and he has two piles of money. One for, again, for insurance, he designates double the amount that he needs. There, even Rav Shimon will agree that it's not even an animal, it's just money, that money doesn't get disposed of. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees. Shemnena Mebasa Kotcha Kotchim, that if somebody has Hanoah from Kotcha Kotchim Shenitma, that became Tamei, or Mesuri Kotchim Kalim, Lacha Shehalon, or from Kotchim Kalim, that were, for the Emurim of the Kotcha Kalim, that were put on the Mizbeach, after they were put on the Mizbeach, the Potter, that there's no chiv of Mila. So the Mefarshim explain the Gemara in the following way. Rashi explains that this Gemara is referring to a situation that before the Zrikas Hadam, the Kachikachim meat became Tamei. The halacha is that there is that this meat is not subject to Mila. The Rishonim ask a number of questions. One question that they ask is that we learned, one of the first halachas actually we learned in this Masechta, is that if you have pigle, it's still subject to Mila. So why over here is Basa Kotcha Kotchim that becomes Tamei not subject to Mila? So the Rishonim answer, a concept that we've learned many times, there's a big difference between pigle and Tamei. Pigle, they explain, is a carbon with a zrikas required, as we learned. We're actually going to discuss it still in today's Shia Bezer Hashem. The zrika pigle is an essential avoider. Without the zrika, it doesn't become pigle. And therefore, until there was zrika, it's subject to me'ila. But that isn't relevant to tumah. Another issue that's raised with Rashi's pshat is that we learned the Gemara the other day, a machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar. If Basar was taken out of the Azara, and therefore it becomes Yotze, it becomes Pasul, so Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Elazar said that that Basar will always remain subject to Mila. Even Rabbi Akiva asked the Rishonim, who took a more lenient approach, and said that that Basar after the Zrika will no longer be subject to Mila, he too only said so on the after Zrika. But how, asked the Rishonim, can the Gemara suggest that before the Zrika, on Basar that became Tamei, it should no longer be subject to Mila? And in fact, as we're going to say in a moment, because of this question, Tosfos has a very different approach to this Gemara. But how do we understand Rashi's approach? So Mefarshim answer that Rashi is going to hold that there's a difference between Tumah and Yotze. That yes, Yotze doesn't become no longer subject to Mila until there's a Zrikas Hadam. The proof being, because the only reason we explained in learning Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that the Zrika works even though the Basar is Yotze, and even though the Basar is disqualified, it's because the Zrigui, we explained that since the Zrika works for the Basar that didn't get disqualified, it also works for the brasa that was yoitza and got disqualified. But it's clear that the only reason the zrika works, the only reason it's not subject to mila, is because we had a valid zrika. By tumah has nothing to do with that. Tumah is not considered enough of a disqualification. Tumah, once the meat becomes tameh, it's no longer subject to mila, whether there is or isn't a zrika. But as I said, Tosfos has a different approach to this gemara. Tosfos' approach to this gemara is that indeed we're talking about after zrika, that the basar became tameh after the zrika, and it's not subject to mila. The problem with Tosfos' pshat, however, is, as we learned from the beginning of the Masechta, we discussed this extensively in the previous parak, if there was zrika, so the carbon is no longer subject to mila. And if the carbon is no longer subject to mila, why do we have to come on to the point that it's tameh? It has nothing to do with tumah. It's not subject to mila because it's already after the zrika. So Mefarshim explained that what Tosfos must mean is that he had hanah before the zrika, and then it became tameh after the zrika. So even though normally by having hanah before the zrika yo'ev me'ila, here became tameh after the zrika, so that takes away the iser me'ila. Who are the hakamoidim that Rav speaks to? So most Rishonim say the hakamoidim are Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, that we learned in our previous year. A machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, at what point is the carbon no longer subject to mila? Rav said only after the Trumas Adeshin is done. Rabbi Yochanan holds after a later point, after the Haitzos Deshin, where the Deshin is actually taken out from the Mizbeach outside of the Harabayas. Says the Gemara that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan will agree that's only on a regular carbon. But on a carbon that became Tamei or Kachim Kalim, don't have that halacha. Because since the carbon is Tamei, so it won't be subject to the halacha of Trumas Adeshin, because Trumas Adeshin is only on a carbon that's kosher, and therefore already it's not subject to mila. The problem with that pshat is that if Rav is commenting on the machloikis on Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is somewhat difficult to understand, because the Gemara in the middle brings the machloikis of Rav and Levi that we discussed in the second part of Tesama Beis. Shouldn't the Gemara brought this comment earlier after we discussed the machloikis of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? And indeed, the Mefarsh recorders, because of this question, learned that the Hakel Moedim that Rav is speaking to are not Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but rather Rav and Levi that had a discussion that we just referred to, what should be done with the Mila funds. In this case, they agree that there is no Mila. We're going to learn like Rashi and Tosfos learn. But then Rashi and Tosfos ask a very fundamental question. Yes, we've just quoted a Machloikis of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Until when is there Mila? Rav said until the Trumas Adeshin. Rabbi Yochanan said until the Haitzos Adeshin. But everybody agrees, until the Trumas Adeshin, there is Mila. So why, by the Murei Kachim Kalim, does Rav say, as soon as they're placed on the Mizbeach, there's no more Mila? We're talking about fine Kachim Kalim and Murim. Shouldn't there at least be Mila according to Rav until the Trumas Adeshin, and according to Rabbi Yochanan until the Haitzos Adeshin? So the Rishonim answer, the din that you need to have Trumas Adeshin, according to Rav, or Haitzos Adeshin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to take away susceptibility to Mila, is only by Kachim Kachim. That rule doesn't, and that's where the Torah speaks about these rules. By Kachim Kalim, there is no such rule, and perhaps as we get into the Gemara deeper, we'll be able to understand why. So ask the Gemara, Pshita, my Kamafsid. And here too, there's a machlokes Rishonim to understand what is the Gemara's question. The way Rashi explains is if it's kachim kachim that are tamei, or it's kachim kalim that the emor already put on the mizbeach, so they have no value. And if they have no value, obviously there's no mila. Tosfos explains that the Gemara's question is that we've learned many times, and we still will learn Be'ezer Hashem, that the halacha is ein lecha davar shenasas mitzvasai, that as soon as the mitzvah is finished, ein by mila, there's no mila. So once these kachim kalim were put on the mizbeach, or the kachim kachim became tamei, there's no further mitzvah. So certainly they should not be subject to mila. Answers the Gemara. Since they have a mitzvah sreifa, the kahanim, they still have to be burnt by the kahanim. So therefore, it should not be considered according to Tosfos nasas mitzvasai, or according to Rashi, it should still have that. It should still be considered kachi Hashem because you have this mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara that that mitzvah doesn't make it still be kachi Hashem. Why? Or that doesn't make it that it's loy nasas mitzvasai. Why indeed? So the Mefarshim explained. Because it's not a mitzvah that's incumbent on the Kahanim to do with their big day kahuna. It's a mitzvah that it should be burnt, but it's not considered an avoida. If there was still an avoida required, so then the halach indeed would be that it's still subject to me'ilah until that avoida is done. The burning of basa kachin kachin that becomes tameh is not considered an avoida, and since it's not considered an avoida, it's no longer considered kachin Hashem, even though it wasn't yet done. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Emurei Kachin Kalim, I would think, Ika mitzvah lefuchi b'tzenura. There's a mitzvah that's not just to put the Kachin Kalim on the Mizbeach, but I have to turn it over to make sure they get burnt, Kamash Malan, and therefore until that point, until that happens, it should still be considered subject to Mila, Kamash Malan, that putting it on the Mizbeach is enough. So the way most Mefarshim explain, is that the Gemara is saying there is no mitzvah of hilfuche b'tzenura. You fulfill the obligation as soon as you put it on the mizbeach, and you need not do more. But why? So I saw a beautiful pshat. Kachi kachim, what are karbonos that are kachi kachim? Chatos, osham, oila. What are kachim kalim? Shlamim, toida. Fundamental difference between these two types of karbonos. Kachi kachim are usually brought because somebody did an aveira. Chatas Oshem is obvious. And even oil is brought because somebody had it, was over a mitzvah sasei. So those kabbonis, we need to get rid of. They represent an aveira. And since they represent an aveira, they must be burnt. So we have to do yifuchim b'tzenura. We have to make sure they're completely consumed by the fire of the mizbeach. On the other hand, when we speak about kachin kalim, they don't represent an aveira. They represent the karma toida. They represent shalom nedava. So we have no need to have them completely burnt. And therefore, as soon as they put on the mizbeach, we've done what we need to do, and they're no longer subject to mila. Amar Rava, now comments Rava, back to the beginning of today's shir. Hada amrit, this that we've learned, kvar karva chatos, that if money, if there was mi'ila, and the carb and the money that was used the chatos was already bought, that the halacha is that that money should be disposed of. Yechli Yam HaMelech, again, to repeat the story, that somebody used the money that he designated for a carb and chatos, and he owes now more money, and instead of taking that money and adding it to that fund that he should buy a bigger, more expensive animal, he didn't. So now he has that money left over. That money should go to Yam HaMelech, says Rava. When was that said? Hani mila dis adalei kamikaparo. Only, and here we have a machlokes, I don't understand the Gemara. Only if that money was already designated before the carbon was brought, or other rishonim say that he knows that he owes the money. The simplest pshat is that he designated the money. So what happened here was that he did mila, he designated money. He should have used that money to put together with the other money that he already has to buy a bigger, more expensive animal. He hasn't. He didn't. So that money, yelch liyam amala. Aval. But if he only designates the money, lach kapara, that means he did me'ila. He owes money. But instead of designating that money, he takes the money that he has and he uses it to buy an animal. And now he has this money that he now goes and designates because he holds this money for the Mila. That money, everybody will agree, even Rav Shimon, Yipul Nadova, that money should not be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, but it should use to Nidvas Tzibur. Ask the Gemara why. Why isn't it the same if I designated the money before I brought the Karma Chattis, or I only designated the money after I brought the Karma Chattis? Answers the Gemara, my Tama, why is that so? Answers the Gemara, In the case where you designated the money before you brought the karma chatas, so you could have used that money to buy a better animal. So that's what you should have done. If you didn't, that money should be disposed of. Here, we already brought the karma chatas, and now you're only designating the money. If we're going to say that you're designating that money and it should be thrown into the Yama Melech, that means from when you designated the money, you designated for to be thrown away. And there's a machlokes how to understand the Gemara now. Some say it's in the same category of Emavim Kachnal Beis Psul. To specifically designate money that will be thrown away, that's not allowed to be done. If we're not allowed to bring a carbon where we know we're not going to be able to eat it for as long as we normally may, that's why we learned you're not allowed to bring certain kabbanis, Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach. Certainly, in this case, where you're designating the money and you know that the only thing you're going to do with the money is throw it out, that isn't halachically acceptable. That's how I saw some of Farshim explain the Gemara. Other Farshim explain that the purpose of the designation of the money is to affect the kapara. So if I designate money and I could use it for karban chatas, so then I've affected a kapara. But if when I designate the money, it can't be used for a kapara, so then what's the point of this designation? How does it do anything for me? And therefore, everybody will agree that that money should be used to buy a carbon for the Ketzah Mizbeah. Says the Mishnah, Koimitz. We know that when we bring a carbon mincha, so the process is that we have all the ingredients and we take off a koimitz. By regular carbon mincha, the koimitz is what's burnt on the Mizbeah, and the rest of the carbon mincha, the shiori ha-mincha, are eaten by the Kohanim. So the koimitz, v'alavoyna, machloikus rishonim, what is meant here when we speak about the Levoina. Does it mean that the Levoina that comes along with the Karban Mincha, or does it mean the Levoina that comes along with the Lechem Aponim that we discussed in the previous year? The Ketiris, that every day they brought Ketiris, and the Mefarshim explain, the Ketiris isn't food. So how are we putting it in the same category as all these other food items? Some say to Mefarshim that since there's a concept that we discussed of Chibas HaKodesh Machshartam, the fact that it's used for Kodesh gives it the category of food. Or Michas Kahanim, unlike a regular Karban Mincha, the halacha is a Michas Kahanim is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Michas Kohen Mashiach, every day the Kohen Gadol had to bring a Michas Chavitim, which was made out of a Hisarin of flour, which you baked into 12 loaves. 6 loaves were brought in the morning, 6 loaves brought in the afternoon. Michas Nesachim. Here too there's a machloikis. How to learn what Michas Nesachim mean. Doesn't mean Michas Nesachim that comes along with a carbon. Most carbonists require that you bring along with them a Michas Nesachim. Or doesn't mean the Michas Nesachim that you bring by itself. You could bring a Michas Nesachim for itself. Here too by Michas Nesachim, the halacha is it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The easier pshat to learn in Tosfos pshat is that we're talking about a mechas nesachim that's brought by itself, not as an accompaniment to a carbon. My alambam, the subject to mila, mishkutchen. As soon as they're designated, the ingredients are designated, they become subject to mila. Kutchen b'keli, once they're put into a keli. So by k'tiris, most rishonim explain, kutchen b'keli doesn't mean that the grinder that's used for grinding the Ketiris, rather means the keli in which the Ketiris is put before you actually bring it and burnt. The Arishanim say that does mean the machteshes. But a kaimitz too, there's a question. Does it mean the original keli that the entire karban mincha is put into klisharis? Or does it mean that after the kaimitz is taken out of the klisharis, it's put into another keli, which keli we're speaking about? Huchshar, at that point it becomes to the category, the apostle, that if it's touched by Tfil Yoyim, that if a Tfil Yoyim, we discussed this earlier in our parak, touch it, or Mechus Kippurim touches it, it becomes disqualified, or Belina. Which means that until the Kaimitz was separated, it's like a Karban Mincha. And the Karban Mincha is only disqualified the next morning. Now that's the Kaimitz, and the Kaimitz, as we said earlier in the Shir, must be burnt on the Mizbeach. It has to be burnt by the time Shkia comes. So the Mishnah says at that point it becomes subject to lina by shkia. The chayav and alav, mishum noisur mishum tamei. If they're left past the proper time, the kaimitz past the shkia, the rest of the Shiur Mincha by after the next morning, Yom V'Layla, or if a Tamei person eats from these the carbon, he's Chayiv, the Chayiv Karis. However, says our Mishnah, Upigal Eimbo. There is no pickle. Why? Because, as we've learned, and we'll learn right now, is the only item that can become pickle is something that becomes mutter through something else. What's the best example? The best example is the basar of a carbon. The basar of a carbon becomes pickle through the dam. We do zrikas hadam, and if the zrikas hadam is done improperly, so then the rest of the carbon, the basar of that carbon becomes pickle. But if something's not, doesn't become mutter, it makes other things mutter, then the halacha is it's not subject to pigel. So we think about the kaimitz. The kaimitz doesn't become mutter. The kaimitz makes the shiori amincha mutter. Since the kaimitz makes the shiori amincha mutter, but it itself doesn't become mutter, it's not subject to pigel. So ask the mefarshim, obvious question. We've learned many times that there are four avoidas by regular carbon. Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. There are four corresponding avoidas by carbon mincha. Kaimitz, putting the kaimitz into a keli, Halacha, and Akhtara. And we've also learned that by both of these types of kabbanis, a carbon can't become pigel until all four of these avoidas are done. So ask the Mefarshim, how can we have a discussion if the pigel, if the kaimitz becomes pigel or not? It wouldn't be able to become pigel until after the Akhtara. But if the kaimitz is consumed, it's burnt up with the Akhtara, there's nothing to become pigel. So how can we have a discussion about the pigel of the kaimitz? So some Mefarshim explain that you took a kaimitz, and part of the kaimitz you put on the Mizbeach, but not all of the kaimitz was put on the Mizbeach. And the discussion of our mission is, if the part of the kaimitz wasn't put on the Mizbeach, is that part going to be able to be pigel or not? The problem with that pshat is it comes into an issue that we discussed, Masechet Zvachim, Masechet Menachos, a mefaglin b'chatzi mater, because the entire kaimitz is supposed to be put on the Mizbeach. Another pshat, and very much connected to the previous Gemara, is haktaris kaimitz doesn't mean that the kaimitz is completely consumed. Haktaris kaimitz means it's enough that you put the kaimitz on the Mizbeach. So now it's very geschmack. The kaimitz is not completely burnt, but it has been had k'tara by having it put on the Mizbeach. Then the Mefarshim ask, so we understand that the kaimitz is a matter, it's matter, the shiur mincha, but it doesn't have anything that makes it mutter. But the Levina, our Mishnah is also saying, is not subject to pigel. But isn't the Levina something that becomes mutter? The kaimitz is matter the Levina. Because the procedure is, first the makta the k'tiris, then the makta the levina. So, why is the levina not considered something subject to pigel? Answer the mefarshim, that since the levina, yes, there are two steps. First of all, it's not clear that it has to be in two steps. Mefarshim debate that issue. But even according to the mefarshim that say that that it has to be in two steps, the purpose of the levina is only to allow you to eat the shiur mincha. So again, the levina falls into the category of something that's a matir, primarily, and therefore not subject to pigel. There's a machloikus rishonim, even though our Gemara, our Mishnah, as we just explained, clearly teaches us that the kaimitz is not subject to pigel, teaches us there's a machloikus rishonim, is it, if you had the machshevas pigel on the kaimitz, will it still be usur? It could be it doesn't have the issa kares, a pigel, but it is still an issa deraisa to eat it, or is it not usur at all? So, summarizes the Mishnah. Zeh klal. Kosh yesh lematirim ein chayovin ama mishrim pigel v'nois v'tamei achi yikriva matirim. V'kosh ein lematirim kivin shekidish b'kli chayovin ala mishrim v'nois v'tamei u'pigel einba. So the Mishnah summarizes with two rules. The first rule is what we just said. That the only part of a carbon that can become pigel is if it has matirim. Again, our example, the boss of a regular carbon. But the kaimitz, which doesn't have something that's matter it, can't become pigel. And now the Mishnah is teaching us another point. As we've learned so many times in the Mishnayis in this parak, The halacha of nois v'tamei travel together with pigel. So when a carbon becomes subject to pigel, that's when the carbon becomes subject to nois v'tamei. Says the Mishnah. When is that said? By a carbon that can become pigel. So a carbon that can become pigel only at the point, which means after Zrikas Adam, where the carbon can become pigel, that's also when the Isser of Neisser and Tamei come in. But something like Koimitz, which can't become pigel, so at what point do the Isser, Neisser, and Tamei come? In such a carbon, this and Neisser and Tamei don't come at the point of after Akhtara. As soon as they're put into the Keli, that's when the Isser, Neisser, and Tamei begin. And the Gemara immediately now begins to focus on that rule. Ask the Ramanani Mili that there is Neisser and Tomei by all Kabbonis, even by Kabbonis that don't have a dinner pigle. Because as we're about to learn, an argument can be made that if there's no Issa pigle, there should be no Issa Neisser and Tomei either. Why? The Tanar Abonim, as we learned in Abraisa, Yochel Sh'ein Chayovin Mishum Toma El B'Dovish Yesh L'Matirim. Only by an item that can be subject to pigle should it be subject to Issa Toma. Otherwise not. Because the dinner, we can make a logical argument. Uma pigel. Pigel has the following three chumras. Shubi di achas. The halacha is, if somebody ate pigel b'shogig, even though he never knew this carbon is pigel, he ate pigel b'shogig, and then he becomes aware that he ate pigel b'shogig, the halacha is that he has to bring a carbon chattis. And that carbon is carbonic kavua. No matter what his financial status is, he must bring a karma chattis. Furthermore, there's no exception to this rule. If somebody eats pigo, he has to bring a karma chattis. Yet, as we just learned in our Mishnah, ain't chayoven el adavashesh lematirim. The only item that can become pigo is something that has matirim. And that's why we said the koimitz, that there's nothing that's matted the koimitz, can't become pigo. Tuma, shebishteyidis. In order to be chayiv for eating kachim b'tuma, the halach is that he had to be aware that he was tamei and not allowed to eat kodesh. Then forget that he was tamei and eat the kodesh, and then become aware what happened. So he had two yediyas: a yediyah before he ate the kodesh, and a yediyah after he ate the kodesh. Furthermore, the halach is that for tumas mikdash for kedoshav, if somebody ate carbon when he's tamei, he brings a carbon oil of a yoyrid. We look at his financial status. If he could afford it, he brings a carbon chatas. If he cannot, he brings two birds for oil of a chatas. And if he can't even afford that, he brings a mincha sirus eifa. Furthermore, a hot machlala, a carbon we have by tumah de klal of tumah hotra b'tzibur. That if most of the tzibur is tamei, the carbon, you could bring the carbon even when people are tamei. Ein adin. So certainly, we should treat tuma more leniently than we treat pigger, and therefore certainly the only time there should be isser tuma by a carbon is by a carbon that has matirim, and therefore the kaimitz should be excluded from the halach of tuma. Yet we just learned at the end of our Mishnah that the kaimitz is subject to hilchas tuma. Tama loimer, that's why the Gemara quote, the Braisa quotes the pasuk. The Torah speaks about all types of tumah, that every carbon is subject to tumah. All kabbanis are subject to this halacha of tumah. Ask the Gemara. So now that we've established that there's iser tumah by all kabbanis, so our Mishnah said that by kabbanis that don't have a din of pigel, when do they become subject to the halacha of tumah? They become subject to the halacha of tumah when they're put into the kli. Ask the Gemara, maybe yochel yeichal yoven alei miyad. They should become subject immediately when you're magdish them. We shouldn't have to wait until they're put into a keli. Tamaloymer om ashi yikrif. The Torah says ashi yikrif. So now, amr belozer, v'chiyesh negeish v'chayiv. The simple meaning of the word sheyikriv means that when they're touched. Ask the Gemara, the isser of tumah is not if a tumah person touched kachim. The isser of tumah is if a tumah person ate kachim. So how do we understand this word of ashi yikriv? other Rishayim explained that the Gemara's question is, first the Pasuk seems to mention that everything is subject to Tameh, immediately. Yet then we have a Pasuk that seems to limit it to Ashiyakrif, to teach us the following halacha. Ka Ketzad, Ka Davashiyesh Lematirin, something that has Matirin, like the meat of a carbon, that has the dam as a matter, Ein Chayiv, Ashiyakrif Matirin, there is no Issatoma until that matter is brought. And therefore, normally, by regular carbon, there's no din of tuma on the basar until there's rikas hadam. The kaldavish ein lamitirim, the example that we're working with, is the kaimitz, that the kaimitz doesn't have a matirim, it's a matir, but it doesn't become mutter. Teaches us the pasuk, ein achayiv, there there's a isatuma, even though it's a davish ein lamitirim, but at what point? At shiyikrif, until it's touched. What does it mean it's touched? It's touched by being put into the keli. So that's the din of tuma. And then as the Rishonim point out, there's a gzer shava of the word chilul chilul that connects the halacha of noisa to halacha of tuma. So we just finished proving that by carbon that davish ein lematirim, the halacha is that it becomes subject to the hilchas tuma from when it's put into the keli. The same thing will apply to noisar, that it comes subject to the hilchas of noisar from when it's put into the Kli Sharis. Hadron lo chatas oif, hadron lo chatas oif, hadron lo chatas oif.